They call me Superman. I'm here to rescue you. I wanna save you, girl. Come be in Shady's world.
Oh boy, you drive me crazy.
Jake, you make
they
me
call
girl.
Me Superman. Big tall girl.
WKTY Morning Show back on air. Dave Carney here with you. 7:42, going to be about 47 degrees, according to our friends at the National Weather Service. I have decided to say no to that and sprinkle some bonus degrees on the region for friends like Toma Dan and others that have to work outside. So lucky for you outside workers, Uncle Dave is sprinkling three, count them, three bonus degrees on the region. Our high temperature, how does 50 degrees sound? There you go. That's for me to you. 608-796-2558. You want to get in touch with the program, the Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line. Wide open there for you. Couple of different requests this morning for Eminem. P12 Foreman loves to hear this particular tune, Superman, one of his favorite Eminem songs. We also had an Eminem request from Private Binks, the Binksinator, Binksy Me Boy, who is trying to go full reversal mode right now with his texts that he was sending in to us all season long about UWL head football coach Matt Janis and his very gorgeous long flowing hair. All during the season, Private Binks, the Binksinator, Binksy Me Boy, you might know him as Darren Kinder, he was sending text messages to me here saying that Matt Janis needs to cut his hair, that it's time for the hair to go, was using terms like slim, sumo wrestler, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The long hair had to go. Well, lo and behold, the Eagles are now going to the postseason, first time in 15 years since 2006, and Private Binks is saying, don't cut the hair. All of a sudden, Private Binks is on board with the whole long flowing locks tip, which we have all been aboard for some time. Private Binks, though, you can't reverse and change history. At least I won't let you do that. Some people might argue with me, but I won't let you do that because I know that you are not a fan of Matt Janis's gorgeous flowing long hair. You just weren't. But now that they've gotten themselves into the postseason, you want to send out shout-outs to Matt Janis's long hair like you've been aboard this train the whole time? No, no, no. The train left the station, Binksy. But that's okay. We love you anyways. And Binksy, you also wanted to hear some Eminem this morning. So what I'm hoping happened is this. I've satisfied two of you at the same time, killed two birds with one stone. Or in this way, made two P1s happy with one song. This is Eminem's Superman. Again, 608-796-2558, Stone Distribution, Talk and Text Line. Want to get in touch with the show? That's the best way to do so. Coming up tonight on WKTY, they're back. The Milwaukee Bucks, 6 p.m. pregame coverage, 6:30 tip-off. The Bucks at Fiserv Forum hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James not going to be playing tonight, but Chris Middleton for the Milwaukee Bucks is going to be making, at least we expect he is, his return to the lineup. Much needed, the Bucks are 6-8 on the season. They've lost their last two. The Lakers are 8-7. They're coming off a really bad loss to the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls are right now one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and really and truly, and I've said this since before the season started, might be one of the toughest outs in the entire conference. The Bulls have put together a great roster. They recently beat the Lakers, and it was not even close. Anthony Davis got ejected. DeMar DeRozan had a season high. The Lakers are going to be gunning for a victory tonight. So the Milwaukee Bucks taking on this Lakers team, even without LeBron James, better be ready to go. And I think tonight is set up perfectly for the Bucks to really jumpstart this season, which again has saw them limp to a 6-8 start, fresh off the heels of their first championship in 40 years. So tonight, 6:30 p.m. tip-off, 6 o'clock pregame coverage, Bucks-Lakers on WKTY. Now, I know that we all want to go see the Bucks. This is still going to be a good team. They're going to be a good team. Everything's going to be fine. You don't need to worry about this team. Take it from me. If I was getting nervous, then you should be getting nervous. At this point in time, no nerves, not even a little bit. But tonight's a big game, and the Bucks should be looking for a big-time victory. But if you want to go see the Bucks, which I hope that you do, you're going to want to jump aboard the Crooked Pint Bus Bucks trip with me as your host on January 15th. Saturday, January 15th, 2022, if you can believe it. We're going to be taking off from the Crooked Pint parking lot here in Onalaska. It's going to be taken off from the Road Ranger up there in Oakdale. And we're going to go to the Fiserv Forum, see the Bucks take on the Toronto Raptors, a team that is playing some pretty good basketball this year so far. Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet and company, Kyle Lowry now in Miami. But this bus is going to be full, and it's going to be sold out really, really soon. Yesterday, we were down to, I want to say, the high 20s in tickets. They will be gone by the end of the week, early next week at the latest. Mike Byers has gotten his. Jimmy Haggerty's gotten his. What about you? Have you gotten yours yet? Go to RadioStuffStore.com. Again, RadioStuffStore.com, and buy yourself a ticket or two or three or four aboard this bus trip. There we go. That's a lot of bees. Thanks to our friends at the Crooked Pint. It's going to be a great game. We're going to be home early enough, 11:30, so you don't have to ruin your Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get yourself a ticket now, RadioStuffStore.com. Now, I've mentioned this throughout this morning's program. Mike and I had thought about talking about my top 10 NFL teams after Week 10. We just didn't have time. On Wednesdays, we only get X number of minutes with Mike Schmidt. Because of that, we couldn't get into my top 10 NFL teams after Week 10. We will go into that on Friday when Mike's back on the program at 7:15. I do want to get into it now, though, because this afternoon at 1 o'clock, my Dave's Daily Play sports betting column will be outlining my top 10 NFL teams after 10 weeks. And I'm going to include the biggest matchup or matchups that I feel are left on the schedule for these top 10 teams and what the potential betting implications could be if we can find them. So here is my top 10 NFL teams after Week 10. It took me some time to come to any sort of consensus conclusion. Last year, I started putting together power rankings in the preseason, and throughout the year, I updated the power rankings. This year, because of what we saw last year, the COVID, and just the awkwardness of the way the season unfolded, I didn't feel, like Matty Ice, that I had a real good bead on exactly what was happening. So here we are after 10 weeks. I feel like we have started to see who the top 10 teams in the NFL are. In this order, number 10, the Baltimore Ravens. At 6-3, the Baltimore Ravens are the number 10 team in the NFL after Week 10 for me. Baltimore, last week against Miami, losing 22-10, showed themselves to be somewhat of an uninventive offense. There was a lack of creativity. Lamar Jackson, productive as he is, does have limitations. And the way that Ravens offense is structured, and now they've released Le'Veon Bell, isn't necessarily such that you're going to see on a game-by-game basis the prettiest of offenses from Baltimore. However, this is still an effective offense when given the opportunity. Miami, they didn't show out. They just really didn't show out. That was a failure of multiple levels of football, not just on the quarterback. But I've got the Baltimore Ravens at number 10 with a record of 6-3. For what it's worth, I look at Baltimore's most important remaining game being December 12th, so a month from now, against the Browns in Cleveland. That game could very well determine the fate of that division. Pittsburgh, I don't know what they can do without Ben Roethlisberger or with Ben Roethlisberger, which, by the way, it looks like Big Ben will be out again on Sunday. Baltimore versus Cleveland on December 12th could very well seal that division. So Baltimore comes in for me at number 10. Number 9. The New England Patriots, a record of 6-4, so not quite as good as Baltimore, with their most important games being December 6th at Buffalo and December 26th versus Buffalo. If the Patriots want to get into the postseason, they've got to win one of those two games. At least I think they do. In the AFC, it might be more of an open race. But the Patriots right now, with Mac Jones coming off of that huge drubbing of the Cleveland Browns, and winners of now what? Four consecutive games in a row. The Patriots are starting to show that they're a real, true, legitimate team in the AFC. Now, I don't think the Patriots are going to be a Super Bowl team this year, but it wouldn't be the most improbable thing of all time if the Patriots found themselves in the Super Bowl in the AFC. The AFC is a lot more open, in my estimation, than the NFC is. And the defense that Belichick has is scary good. The fact that this guy, as a head coach, is coaching with a chip on his shoulder is something to really take note of. Don't think it's lost on Bill Belichick that Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers won a Super Bowl last year. This guy is as good as any in the profession that have ever done it. He might be the best football coach of all time. The guy's got a good roster. The quarterback, Mac Jones, we had questions about. Mac Jones, statistically, we talked to John Denton about this yesterday, our sports betting insider and former UNLV Rebel quarterback. Mac Jones statistically is up there amongst the top quarterbacks in the NFL this year by quarterback rating metrics. Mac Jones is on pace, if you can believe this, to set the rookie record for completion percentage. 69% completions this year for Mac Jones. Dak Prescott set the record with about 67%. when his first year with Dallas was completed. So I've got the Patriots coming in at number 9. My number 8 team, former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are 6-3, but the Tampa Bay Bucs have lost 2 games in a row, and in these 2 games, they have looked bad. Tom Brady's thrown 4 interceptions in his last 2 games, and they have not looked good. Losing to Washington 29-19, that's an eye-opener. Washington is a good football team with Taylor Heineke as a gamer for quarterback. But Washington, to be able to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like they did, I think says a lot more about Tampa Bay's lack of production, lack of consistency, than it says about the Washington football team's ability to beat really good teams. However, Tampa Bay, just like they were last year, can be one of those sleeping giants. If you look at Tampa Bay last year, and they remind me a lot of another team that we'll talk about here in the top 10, who I'll get to in just a second. Tampa Bay last year in November, not great. I mean, really not great. It didn't start until December for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady and company really picked it up starting in December. Now, that very well may happen again this year, but Tampa Bay, last 2 games, they have been woefully unimpressive, which is why I've got them sitting at number 8 in my top 10 teams in the NFL after week 10. My number 7 team, the Kansas City Chiefs. 6-4, most important game left for the Chiefs. I've got December 16th versus the Chargers, and that'll be at the Chargers in Los Angeles. That, again, could very well be a determining game for this division. The Broncos, they will not be in it. The Raiders, TBD. The Raiders are in a nightmare season now. John Gruden suing the NFL. Henry Ruggs is in prison. They had to cut their first-round cornerback, Arnett. The Raiders, they're in a free fall, a bit of a free fall. We'll see what they can do. For my money, the Chiefs game, December 16th, against the Chargers in Los Angeles, this is going to be one that could determine the fate of the division. And if that's the case, Kansas City better be ready for it. Number 6, the Los Angeles Rams, 7-3. The Rams losing on Monday Night Football 31-10 to the San Francisco 49ers are not by any stretch of the imagination a bad football team. In the last 2 weeks, though, they have not been impressive. The Rams are too good on a personnel perspective, though, to consider them done for this season. They just really are. They are too good from a personnel perspective to consider them a wash, okay? Sean McVay, and this is unfortunate if you're a Packers fan, is going to have 2 weeks to game plan for the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Now, I feel pretty good about the Packers' chances right now, especially if Aaron Jones can be back for that game. But this Los Angeles Rams team, losing in the last 2 weeks, has opened up my eyes to the fact that Los Angeles may be a lot like what last year's Tampa Bay Bucs were. A veteran quarterback going to a new team with all these new toys, struggling a bit after having some early success, and then picking it up in the second half of the season after their bye. Tampa Bay last year reminds me a lot of LA this year. The struggles that Tampa Bay had in their first couple of months reminds me a bit of the struggles that, at least over the last couple of weeks, the Rams have had. Sean McVay said he chooses to believe that the Rams aren't what they have shown themselves to be in the last couple of weeks. He chooses to believe they're the 7-1 football team that started out the season. Now, again, these questions still have to be answered, but I just don't think that we can sleep on a team with all of those particular guys on that roster. That's a good roster, and generally, professionals figure this thing out. The Rams come in at number 6. Number 5, Buffalo. The Bills were long considered the best team in the AFC. Before the season started, they were looked at as the odds-on favorite from the AFC to make it to their first Super Bowl in about, 30 years. Now, they've had some up-and-down games, but Josh Allen is one of these quarterbacks that I think really hits the nail on the head. He says at every press conference, he did so after the Chiefs game, you know, we didn't just win the Super Bowl here. I've never known anybody to win the Super Bowl after week 3, whatever that was. Well, he also says after a loss that we're not going to go through this roller coaster of every week we're the worst team in the NFL or we're the best team in the NFL. We've just got to continue to play complimentary football and get through the season. I think the Bills will be fine, but they have had some pretty bad losses, including that 9-6 loss to the absolutely atrocious Jacksonville Jaguars. Buffalo comes in at number 5. Most important games I've circled for Buffalo, December 6th versus the Patriots. Mentioned that. The same thing for the Patriots, December 26th at New England. That, again, could very well be a determiner for that division, as crazy as that sounded coming into this year, with Mac Jones quarterbacking and Josh Allen quarterbacking. You didn't think that Buffalo Bills would have to be in a dogfight with the Patriots, but that may be where it ends up. Number four, the Arizona Cardinals. Yep, the Arizona Cardinals had been everybody's darling to start the season. They have now lost two out of their last three games. One to the Packers Thursday Night Football. That was with their quarterback, Kyler Murray. And one without this last Sunday, 34-10 to the Carolina Panthers with new quarterback, old quarterback Cam Newton. Arizona is one of these teams who at 8-2 doesn't feel like an 8-2 team. All right? They just don't feel like an 8-2 team. I'm still not 100% that Cliff Kingsbury is the guy that's going to be able to lead a team to a Super Bowl. I'm not convinced he can't. I'm still not entirely sure that Kyler Murray, as we're seeing here, can stand up for a whole entire season. The dude's just small. And when I say stand up for a whole season, he's made it through a whole season before. But stand up through a whole season and power a team into the postseason. Now, they'll get there this year. I don't think they're going to fall off that much. But you look at Arizona, and you can see some ways in which they are extremely beatable, which is why I've got them sitting there at number four. The most important game remaining for them this season, in my estimation, December 13th versus the Rams. That game is in Arizona. Number three, this pains me to say because I have not believed in them for some time, and it really bothers me. But the Dallas Cowboys, I've got as the number three team in the NFL right now with their most important game coming up January 2nd. That's some time from now against the Cardinals. Look, Dallas will walk into the NFC East division title. The Washington football team, great win versus Tampa Bay, 29-19. Well played, well done. You lost Chase Young for the season with a torn ACL. Well, that was your best player. And now you've got some great depth on that front, on that defensive line if you're Washington. But you look at Dallas. And again, I didn't believe it. I didn't buy into it. I didn't trust them. I discount Mike McCarthy a ton. The Dallas Cowboys are playing good football, and they have a scary good roster. At 7-2, I've got Dallas as my number three team in the NFL after 10 weeks. Number two, from the AFC, the Tennessee Titans. Say what you will about Tennessee. Believe in Ryan Tannehill or not. Derrick Henry's out. I get it. Tennessee's got the most impressive wins of any team in the league this year. They just do. They have beaten everybody's best. The Tennessee Titans have taken on all comers this year. They have beaten all the best teams that they have faced this year. They've beat them all. And Ryan Tannehill, again, he's not going to be confused with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. This guy's a clutch quarterback. When you look at plays that need to be made, third down and long, third down in the second half, fourth quarter conversions, Ryan Tannehill is one of the best, if not the best, statistically this year. He's a clutch quarterback. I don't think, again, he'll ever be confused with one of the best quarterbacks, but he is a clutch quarterback. And Mike Vrabel, well done, man. You lose your offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, to be a head coach of the Falcons, and you feel like this Tennessee team just takes two, three, four steps back. You lose Derrick Henry, ostensibly for the season. We're going to pack it in. Not even a bit. Not even a little bit. Tennessee sitting at 8-2, best record in the AFC. And the number one team in the NFL after 10 weeks, according to me, is the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, 8-2, number one in the NFC right now, have the best shot, in my estimation, to make the Super Bowl in the NFC should Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and at least one of the defensive players, Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, or Rashawn Gary, holds up and can be a big anchor for this defense. Matt LaFleur is a great coach. Not a good coach, a great coach. Joe Barry is somebody we all had questions about, right? We weren't sure what kind of defensive coordinator Joe Barry would be for this Packers team. We weren't sure how much success Joe Barry would have with this roster. This defense has held three of the best quarterbacks in the NFL to a total of 34 points in the last three games. Russell Wilson got shut out for the first time in his career. Patrick Mahomes was held to 13 points. And previous to that, Arizona's Kyler Murray held to just 21. 34 points in the last three games to three of the top quarterbacks in the league. In the league. If Aaron Rodgers played two Sundays ago against Kansas City, I think we all know the Green Bay Packers win that game by at least a million, but they would have at least won that game. I don't know by how much, but I think we can all get down to this. If Aaron Rodgers plays for the Packers versus Kansas City, the Packers beat the Chiefs. That's just as plain as it can be. There's no way that Kansas City's rushing 10 guys every single time, maybe 11 on some occasions to get Jordan Love. If it's Aaron Rodgers back there, they just won't do that. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. So this Packers team very well could be 9-1. And looking at their schedule, you know, I saw teams like Los Angeles, like Baltimore, as being, type of spots. I don't feel that way anymore. I really don't. And whether or not we like the way Aaron Rodgers has handled himself this season, which I think a majority of us probably don't, the guy can sure still sling it, can he? And when he's healthy, this Green Bay Packer team's got a great chance to win each and every game. They really do. The defense stout, the coaching staff A1. The Green Bay Packers at 8-2 right now today are my number one team in the NFL after 10 weeks. Speaking of our Green Bay Packers, our Green Bay Packer reporter, Mike Clements, here with our second Packer update of the morning. We've got Scott Robert Shaw waiting around in our WYZM newsroom. When I come back, I'm going to give you another update of this morning's Flipside Pub and Grill daily poll question. Noah Syndergaard got signed by the Angels, 1 year, $21 million. What do you think? Does this give the Angels a real shot to be a playoff team now? A majority of respondents on our first look said no. If you haven't yet taken this morning's Flipside poll question, please do so at WKTY on Twitter and WKTYsports.com online. Stay tuned. We'll come back here on the award-winning WKTY Morning Show. Just a few.